Buenos dias.
Good morning.
Am I still? Yep. Okay. It is a privilege and pleasure to be with you again. We were here 2 years ago, and we were here in the winter also. So this is when our kids have their school break, and so we are spending about 2 months here. We head back to Costa Rica January 24th. We have now been serving in Cartago, Costa Rica, for 4.5 years, and it's a city that's up in the mountains, kind of central Costa Rica. Our kids, as Pastor Dan mentioned, are Alesa, who the school year is totally different, and so she just finished up fifth grade, and will be going into sixth grade, which in Costa Rica is still, it's the last year of elementary school. And Elijah, who has now lived just about exactly half of his life, half of his life in Costa Rica and half of his life in here in the United States. So 4.5 years here, 4.5 years there, and he just finished third grade, so he's going into fourth grade. And it is a pleasure to be up here, a little bit less with the cold, but it is great to visit with partner churches like yourselves, to reconnect a little bit, share a bit about our lives and ministries, as well as reconnect with family and friends, and the kids are excited about the snow and sledding and all of that, so at least they'll enjoy it.
And as Pastor Say and Carlos, this morning I was cooking breakfast, I didn't find eggs, and she said, go to Jewel, and when I went outside the house, it was so cold, I almost started driving south to Costa Rica back. I'm sorry that people are suffering in the winter. It's a kind of punishment that God is doing to people in the north, I believe. I'm working with pastors in Costa Rica, like 30 pastors from different denominations, teaching hermeneutics. That is some principles that they can apply to read and understand better the Bible. I also work with the young adults, and they say, when you go to Cornerstone, put a picture of us. And I say no, because I knew that was the single ones that request that. And I say, I don't know if Cornerstone have a single people, but next time. I work with indigenous also in Costa Rica. They're called Cabecares. There are 14,000 Cabecares, and the language that they speak is the Cabecar language. Their worldview is different than our worldview. And also, one day, if we can go to the next slide. I was in the Cabeca region, and they invite me to go and see their church. When I arrived, I see that their church was built with bamboo and black plastic nylon. So every time that it rained, it destroyed their church. So they had to rebuild. And they invite me to pray because they want to build a new church. My ministry is equipping, not building churches. So at the beginning, I refused to pray. But the community and even non-believers start building the church. And the missionary didn't pray. And then I start praying, I invite friends to help me and to help them, and now they have this beautiful building. It's kind of luxury for them, so even if it rains, it doesn't get destroyed. So, and I will say that this is possible because your support to our ministry in Costa Rica.
Okay, and I am still very, we can go to the next slide, thanks, very focused on home front activities and helping the kids and whatnot with schoolwork and their activities. However, I have gotten involved in two different ministries, primarily outside of the home, and so one of them is the Coalition to Help Immigrants, and that It's kind of three prongs. It's one, teaching the church, educating the church more, Big C Church, on issues of immigration and immigrants within Costa Rica. Then also trying to help network more effectively amongst the churches and nonprofits that are serving immigrants to serve them more effectively, and then connecting real needs with people that can help. And then the other ministry, which if you've followed, if you receive our newsletters or have followed along some, you've probably heard a bit more about Casa Viva. And so they are the only Christian nonprofit foster care agency. It's the only alternative that exists for children and adolescents removed from their homes to be placed with a family instead of going to an institution of some sort. And so what I'd like to, so I've helped with Casa Viva with some fundraising in the past as well as some promotion. The focus is really to try to get local churches on board with the mission and vision of Casa Viva in order to get more foster families. So that's, they really try to work through local churches to get foster families. And so you can go to the last slide. And what I really want to talk about for a couple minutes is Joao. Again, if you've seen any of our newsletters, we have referred to Joao as Jay, and we haven't shared any pictures because we weren't able to, but in this setting and at this point, we feel that we can share his real name and some pictures with you here in person. So we helped with Joao about a year and a half, what here would be more like considered respite care. And so he was with a full-time foster family, but he would come with us about twice a month over the weekends for about a year and a half. He was in foster care from 11 months old until he was five, and he was with two different foster families. And so because of this, the length of time that he was in foster care, and just the background and some health issues, he had some really challenging behaviors that mostly he exhibited with his full-time foster family. When he was with us, he often was pretty cool, calm, and collected. I think it was just a different dynamic of being with our family. And he loves, loves, loves Alesa in particular. So really enjoys playing with our daughter. And him and Elijah would hang out. They were the early risers, though. So they would play Legos and Matchbox cars in the morning. And so it took a long time, partially because of the pandemic and partially just because the court systems are slow, probably everywhere. And so it took a very long time for Joao to be declared legally adoptable. And he was declared legally adoptable at the beginning of this year. And we were praying even before that. We were praying along with a lot of people. We asked for prayer in our newsletters for Joao. A lot of people were praying for him that a loving Christian family would adopt him. And he was. He was adopted in June, and it was just amazing. So his adoptive parents are there with us in the picture. They do not have any biological children of their own. They live about 4 hours north of Cartago. And amazingly enough, we got to host them in our home for several days when they came to little by little get to know Joao. So the full-time foster mom also got to meet them. This is not normal procedure. It was totally God that we all got to know each other and that we're still in touch. So we get pictures, we get videos, we were able to send him some Christmas gifts before we left. He's doing great. He's doing really great. We know that it's not an easy road, but the transition the last 5 months, from what the mom says, has been going really, really well. And I think that he has found peace in his heart now that he has his forever family, his forever mom and dad. And so we are just so grateful for the work of Casa Viva, the hard work of finding foster families, training them, preparing them. And we know that Joao's life has been greatly impacted in a way that would be really different if he had spent 4 years in an institution, or potentially longer. So we're just so grateful for Joao, for his life, and the beautiful story, just as God continues to work in his life. Okay, and at the end, I know we're there's a lunch afterwards, so we'll be hanging out for the lunch too, and out in the lobby we have a table with some new prayer cards, updated with more accurate to the kids' age, and so you can grab one of those. We have a sign up if you'd like to receive our newsletters. There's a few little Costa Rican candies and goodies and stuff, so feel free to grab those, and we'd love to connect with you afterwards. Thank you so much for this time and for your partnership with us.
I know that it takes a lot of courage for a pastor to invite someone to preach when the person barely speaks English. God bless you for your courage. So God became flesh and we saw his glory. I was thinking this week, and for the guys that are married here, what about if when you get about to get married, your girlfriend say to you, "I am pregnant." What question you will ask her? And what about if she say, "And you know, and is by the Holy Spirit." Will you believe her? So I cannot imagine if in 2005, before we'd marry, my wife said, "I am pregnant." I will ask her, like, "Who is the guy?" And as a good Honduran, I will say, "I want to kill him." So I don't know what things happened to Joseph. But this is a real story, and this happened more than 2,000 years ago. And actually, it took angels to come and convince Joseph that, yeah, that was true. So in your Bibles, you can go to Luke chapter 2. We are going to read verse 8. To 20, Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20, and I'm going to read, and it says, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from then into heaven, the shepherds say to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made it known the saying that had been told concerning to this child, and all who heard it wondered at the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all those things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." So As we know, that was a decree by Caesar Augustus order a census that everyone must return to their village, to their city, and this was with a purpose to tax people. So I cannot imagine that Joseph told Mary, you know what, we had to walk like 80 miles probably to go to the city of Bethlehem because it's an order and we had to go. And they took probably the belongings that they have, and I don't know if they used like a donkey or I don't know what kind of transportation they use. But it was difficult, especially for a female, I would say, because even for us, we have a little car, and going to Gourney, where my mother-in-law lived, to Hoffman Estate, where we are staying now, to take our things that we bring from Costa Rica and things that we are buying here. And it's not much, but our car is small, and it take, we had to go to Gourney three times in order to bring clothes and suitcase and all those. Can you imagine in a donkey how many times it takes to go to Galilee? So it was not easy for them to go and walk around 80 miles. So, but one day they arrived to Bethlehem, and Mary, I think she was tired, and she asked Joseph, can you go and find a place that we can sleep this night? And I can imagine Joseph going to every house or place, knocking at the door and say, is this a place that my family can stay this night? But people came from all over the place because they had to sign for the census, and it was no place. Probably Mary was outside with a donkey, taking care of the little thing that they have. And I can imagine Joseph going back and sad, I will think, and say to Mary, I'm so sorry. There is no place for us this night. So they went into a place in a manger, and probably there were some animals, and say, well, we had to spend the night here. But that night, she's going to deliver a baby. What an inconvenient time for a female to deliver a baby in a place that Mary did. I cannot imagine, because she was with a lot of pain, and Joseph probably busy putting the couch, the donkeys or whatever it was, away because the wife was delivering a baby. And the smell. It was very difficult for them. But not far away, in the hills, there were shepherds. And angels, they came to them to announce and to give a really good news that in the city of David, a Savior was born, Jesus. And a multitude of angels in heaven appeared to the shepherds. I will be afraid just to see a multitude of angels. And they were singing, praising God. And they say, glory to God in heaven. Now, the shepherds find the baby when they went to Bethlehem. They worship, and they told others also the good news. So, you are very familiar with this story. It was the decree they had to do a census that the people, the Roman people, they ruled the war. It was with the purpose that everyone had to pay taxes. They want to show who is in control. So it was no easy time for Joseph and Mary. But what I am amazed is that they were obedient to God's call. Sometimes it's easier or it's easy to complain when you are facing difficulties in life. And because we are complaining, we pay less attention about what God wants to do through us or through you. Yeah, sometimes even that we are missionaries living in Costa Rica, but going to see the indigenous that I had to cross a river, and it can be dangerous, and I ruined my car by doing that. But because that, the difficulties, what I have seen is that more than 30 people gave their life to Jesus Christ. The easiest for me is, I'm not going. I'm putting my life in risky by crossing that river. But in the other hand, is that God is using all those things that I can share the gospel for indigenous in Costa Rica. Jesus was born. It was the first Christmas and was celebrated in heavens for angels and on earth for shepherds. Joseph and Mary, they walk from Galilee to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was like an insignificant town, and the city didn't have a good reputation. And I am asking, like, why God used Bethlehem and not Jerusalem, where the temple was or is? And Jesus was born among sinners, but also he died on the cross among sinners. And through his ministry, people criticized Jesus because he was friend of tax collectors. But he came to restore this broken world. He came to save shepherds, tax collector, fishermen, and in the end, sinners, meaning you and me. I cannot imagine this time for Mary. She was alone, away from family, but she received, when she was there with a baby, visits from shepherds. And I don't know, but if I were Mary, the least people that I want to see were shepherds. And I will tell you why. Just to be realistic, at the time, a judge or a person didn't consider the testimony of a shepherd because a lot of them, they were liars. A lot of them, they have a bad reputation. And it's those people that God used to go and visit Mary. So why God didn't use the high priests, people that were qualified for ministry? I went to the indigenous region and I visited Jenny. She's my friend. And her mom, when she was delivering a baby, the custom that they used to have is the woman had to walk like 50 meters away from their house, and the husband make like a nest or a little house, I don't know how you want to call, but if it rains, you get wet, or it has been sunny, it just like outside the house, in the wild, and they prepare a little place that a woman by themselves, with no help, they can deliver it a baby. So Jenny Mons was there delivering a baby. Nobody was helping because it's how they do it. You know what happened? She had complication and she died. Nobody was there to help. And I cannot imagine Mary being there, probably only with the help of Joseph. Sometimes we think that because she was the mother of Jesus, that everything will be easy. It's like the idea of you become a Christian, everything will be easy. But the truth is, no. Sometimes things get more complicated. But the question that I have for you is this. What if God called you to serve him in places that is not comfortable to you? Will you say, here I am? But God started using the shepherds to announce the good news to all people. Not the high priest. They went and they shared that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, I have here a couple conclusions. Bethlehem was the place where lambs were raised to be sacrificed later in the temple. And there were shepherds that take care of those lambs that later people took to Jerusalem. Now, Jesus also was born in Bethlehem, but here is the perfect land of God that was born in Bethlehem, and later he was sacrificed on the cross for your sins and for my sins. God used ordinary people to share the good news, meaning that you don't have to be a pastor, neither a missionary, but you can say to others about the gospel. But what Christmas is all about? Is to tell others that a Savior was born and he wants to save us, to walk with us, but also to give us hope. The Bible says, for to us a child is born and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for the good news that we can receive today, that you was born to restore the relationship that we can have with the God. Thank you that Mary and Joseph did the sacrifice to go to be obedient, that we can learn also that serving you is not easy, but in the end, we get salvation. I just pray, God, that you will bless this church, and thank you for Cornerstone and the support that they give to missions, not only to us, but other missionaries, that we can share the gospel to others, and people can be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.